Well, here we are, Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, yeah, as opposed to Phoenix, Texas. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Phoenix, Arizona.
You know that there has had to have been some sacrifice, whether it's time or nutrition or whatever it is.
I'm recording myself talking about having a relationship with my chest.
I'm Ben Cunning.
I'm Dave Kennedy.
And this is Hacking Health Podcast.
We got some people that have been to events before, and a newcomer, Meg, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Phil?
Phil, what do we think?
Welcome back.
What is going on?
Tyler, this is your between 6 and 9 events.
I don't know. I don't know. We did 7 last year.
So between 6 and 9, right?
And then
he's been to all 7.
That was 7 last year.
Oh.
And then there was 2 the year before. So that was at 9, and then 10. Would that be 10?
So it's outside.
I could be miscounting. I'm sure Ben will correct that at some point. But yeah. And then
hey,
Kyle.
First event. What do you think?
So far, so good. If I had to sum it up, I'd say heavy lifts. Really strong margaritas, some bomb-ass food cooked by Trish and Mark, and Ben telling everyone to do backflips into the pool despite the fact that he'll never actually do a backflip into the pool himself.
That's very true. So, he's been on par this time. Not that it hasn't ever been good before. Like,
nice save.
Trish, Mark.
Yeah, no, they're elevated. They're spot on.
Phil, wisdoms, what's your favorite style of potato?
We're not going to talk about potatoes in this podcast.
Hey, we had little salads. I thought we'd cut the salads with little potatoes.
Meg, what's the biggest surprise for this first event for you? Anything you expected and didn't get, or didn't expect and got?
No, I can say the thing I've enjoyed the most so far was the instruction of being in the gym. I was kind of overwhelmed by the thought of being in the gym for so long. I'd never done a group workout or with any of the trainers before, so I was a little bit intimidated by that. We did spend, 5 hours in the gym the second day we were here, so it was quite long. But I felt like my form was so much better because I had some, the trainers who knew how to help me perfect it, being like, no, do this. I remember I was doing a kneeling cable crunch, and Ben just came over and sat down next to me, and I paused and looked at him and I said, can I help you? And he says, no, but I can help you. And I was like, okay,
still
cool.
Shared.
Yeah.
My biggest lesson of the week is my mobility is shit.
Yeah.
It's a big thing to take back and try to improve on.
Yeah, Lorena.
Walking around like a tin man right now.
Yeah.
Lorena kind of put you through the...
I learned that even a simple stretch of sorts is a long way from what I can do.
Yeah, we were doing some weird figure eights, I had to touch our nose to our toes, and it was weird.
Did you do it?
Oh, it wasn't actually nose to toes.
Oh, so you lied.
But it was exaggeration.
Attempts. Exaggeration. Yeah. Can you spell exaggeration?
Probably not right now.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe tomorrow.
Try.
Maybe next podcast.
Next series of podcasts.
G-G-E-R-A.
Well, I mean,
T-I-O-N.
This is yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Very good. I mean, but this is bigger than last year, right? So, I mean, I like to think Colorado Springs was my first one last year, and that was 22, 25 people. Now we're at
27.
51.
51.
So I was listening to one of the shorts that was done by Ben and Dill Pickles from the first day. And Ben said that 2 years ago when he had his first get together, there's only 7 people total. And now he's at 51. I don't know that much detail. I just know Ben and now.
That was Tyler's first one.
First one was Cleveland, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it was. We were in hotel rooms. We weren't in an Airbnb. Nashville was the first one that we did in a Airbnb. And that's kind of where,
It's an experience, you know, staying with the people in the same room.
People you don't know.
I mean, I said to Kyle the first day we got here, it was funny because I'd never met any of them except for Ben and maybe like one other person here in person before. And we had the group chat on Discord. We're trying to organize like who goes into what car when we arrive at the airport. And I just walk up to these two random men who I've never seen before in my entire life. And I'm like, hi. And they always say, you know, don't get into cars with strangers. Well, and I was like, you know what, motherfucker, I'm going to get into a car with two random strangers. And now what, we're on like day three and Kyle and I are like this.
It is cool to see, though, because we all went through the same thing, right? Nashville, for me, I walked into a room full of people already eating as I got there. And it was a weird... you're like, I just walked into an Airbnb with a bunch of random people. Is this?
Yeah.
I didn't really think about this. Yeah. And now seeing other people do the same thing, and now we're like on day three here, and you can hear everybody. You know, there's no more clicks. People are getting to know each other. It's, you're seeing a lot more people be a lot more comfortable with everyone. So it's cool to see that change over the week.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that the retro on is like the fact that it's not just about like lifting and getting stronger, and but it's also like, you know, the mindset of it all with like being comfortable in those uncomfortable situations. Like, I mean, this is my second event, right? Well, kind of, we had people in Pittsburgh at my house and stuff like that, and there was Vegas and did that too, right? But big event where I left my comfort of my home, and I think it's, you reflect on it, you're like, it's kind of difficult, and you're like, I wanted to cancel up until the day before this, like, personally, just because I'm like, I don't do this. Like, I know a few people there, but I don't know 40 other people from there. And I'm like,
it's intimidating.
You know, I mean, I feel like I used to be an extrovert, but I feel like I'm very much like, I just want to be at home in my house that I love and shit like that and do that. But it's good to put yourself in uncomfortable situations and, you know, work through it and know that, like, you still have the comfort to go back to. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing we don't think about. It's like, oh, I'm just coming to lift again. No, there's way more than that. You're spending, like, 12, 15-hour days with people that you never have met before at all. You know, a couple Zoom calls or Discord conversations. Right?
So why does it work out so well, 12 to 15-hour days with people we've never met? Why do you think we're here on day three and everyone seems like one big family already?
I think because we're here for a common goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to improve themselves, right? So there's that common interest, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a like no judgment zone, right? You know, I mean, we all poke fun at each other and people know each other and we have fun and stuff like that. But there's that no judgment. Like, no one's here to judge you. Like, we're all on our different journeys to make ourselves more healthy. And I think you can tell people feel comfortable that they probably wouldn't feel comfortable, you know, going to a pool in the middle of Vegas in front of like other random strangers, right? That might be more fit than them. But here there's a comfort level, like, doesn't matter how where you are in your journey, like, there's no one's gonna fucking judge you for how you look right now, right? You know, it's an individual journey. So you need to be all comfortable. I think that allows people to maybe open up a little bit more, like, okay, no one's gonna judge me for taking my shirt off, right? Because it doesn't matter how fit you are, I still struggle with, you know, body dysmorphia for some reason, right? Because you look yourself in the mirror, you see yourself more fit, but I only see myself when I wasn't fit.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, how do I get over that, right? But, like, you know, just being comfortable. And, like, I feel like there is that no judgment. And maybe people are silently judging me. I don't know. I don't give a shit, though. I'm not thinking about that. But, like, there is that no outward judgment. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe that person's taking off their shirt and going in the pool type of thing. You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking about as I'm taking off my shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a pretty safe zone. I mean, because we're here for a common goal, there is no outward judgment. But, I mean, I'd say I struggle with probably body dysphoria. I'm not going to pronounce that word again, but and I'd say it's a struggle, but I think it's a struggle that we probably all have in common. It may just come in a different taste or different flavor.
That's fair. What was your favorite part of day one of lifting? I'll tell you what my least favorite part is. I'll leave you with that. My back was sore as shit. I'm limping around like I've been shot 10 times, but I'm here. Phil, what was your favorite part of day one?
I mean, I don't have a favorite part of day one. I do have a favorite part that's happened in almost every single one of these events. Is at some point I'm talking to Ben about like how this whole thing happened. And one of the times was when we were in Munich at Stark Beer Fest. We're in a room full of about 4,000 Germans screaming, singing, jumping on tables. And Ben and I look at each other and we're like, how the fuck did we get here? And the same thing happened while we were listening to Diamond Dallas Page give us a motivational speech. I was like, how the fuck are 50 people in here listening to Diamond Dallas Page give a speech? And I told Ben the same thing. And he's like, you know, I think that there's been a period of that in every single one of these events of how did we ever get here? And I think, you know, you're talking about a retrospective. That's something that I always take away from these events is kind of how random it is, but kind of how fortunate we are to be a part of it.
What up, Tom?
What up?
How has your lifting camp experience been so far?
Phenomenal.
Yeah. What's your favorite
part? Best one yet. All the people.
Yeah.
This one's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about this because you came with your wife. How has the journey been, both of you working with Ben?
It has changed everything. We've talked about it before on the podcast, but it's like legitimately continues to change everything. Yeah. We're high school sweethearts, so it's never been stronger, our relationship. It's absolutely been incredible. Yeah.
I love that.
I want to see you and Jen. Like, I mean, so you guys' first time was in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
And then we had Pittsburgh and then Belfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
have you noticed any change of us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
When you walk in the door here, man, like, looks one thing, but the other thing is how.
Yeah.
You had an energy about you when you came in, and I was like, oh, Thomas is here. Let's go. Like, I was stoked when you walked in the door. And not that, you know, I think you were just a little more quiet in Colorado.
Yeah.
This time around.
Nerves, man. For sure.
What a change for sure.
Yeah. Thanks, man. It's been cool because coming, like, I didn't know you.
Yeah.
I'd say a large majority of the people between the events that we've done, like, it's fun now. Like, it's like, oh, my buddies. You know,
yeah. Yeah. All right. That's exactly what it is. I'm just like, oh, I get to talk to Thomas. And
yeah.
I know we haven't been able to talk much this time, but yeah, it's really not over yet. So we'll get there.
Yeah.
But just cool, like, talking, whether it's about work or about lifting or just like different things that we're doing. Cause I mean, that's part of it, right? The part of the community is not necessarily health, but being able to bring that work aspect in because it's part of your mental health, right? Being able to talk about it and see what it was. And so, but also being able to see other folks that have come, like, as I've seen, like I think the only Robert and Daniel and Dave, sorry if I'm missing anyone else, are the only other ones from Cleveland that are here. And it's just cool to see, like, the evolution of folks.
It's kind of special. These four right here. You started in Cleveland. I started in Nashville. You started in Colorado, and you started here in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all at different points in our journeys.
Yeah.
Yet we're all having journeys that are overlapping right now, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. So nifty. I'm curious to see, like, 1 year from now,
yeah.
what it'll be like if we sit down again together then.
Yeah. It's been pretty wild, and like we. I joined specifically just to get healthy, but I thought of that physical aspect, and then Belfast messed us up. Me in particular, between Belfast and now has been a lot of work on the mental side of things, which I was not expecting.
Well, I remember we were in Belfast and it might have been right after Kira talked or whatever, and we both looked at each other like, yeah, it was too deep for me. Like, I can't go that deep.
That was pretty intense.
I'll say I have not worked on myself since then, but I am very glad that you, and I'll probably talk to you about how that's going.
Yeah.
But that's another thing is like how these have expanded with the team as well, right? So you have
coaches.
So we have new coaches now. We have Dave. I know he coached in Nashville, right?
Coached
by lifting with us, but I know Dave, he's come a long way in helping and coaching. Now we have Trav, Sean is in person now. Before, he used to just be virtual on a Zoom. Kira has joined the team, and Lorena.
Yeah,
the
I've been asking for mobility for like over a year and a half from Ben, and then he finally found someone to help, and it's been great. Like, this is Lorena's first event, and it's been awesome. Like, she showed us two things so far, and I was like, this is great. Like, I already feel better, like, on the second iteration of
it. All she did was have me do the shoulder with the bar behind her back or whatever, which when she did it, I was like, okay, stop. My body doesn't move that way. And she's like, well, let's, you know, figure it out. And it worked. But I've never felt those muscles worked. Like, I was like, what is this?
Yep.
And then my chest actually opened up a little bit. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. Yeah. Excited about the mobility stuff.
Yeah. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
But back to like the growth of the team. Like, I think it's just cool. Like, we have like Trav's planning workouts now. Ben's almost like the manager now, right? Like, he's just like the CEO. Like, not that he wasn't the CEO. Boat. Yeah, he's just steering the boat. It's been different to see Ben at this event. Like, he just relaxed. And obviously, we have Mark and Trish here. So, like, takes complete stress off of him because he's not cooking or anything. But
the food's phenomenal.
Yes. Yep. Yes, it is. It is awesome. But
a total treat.
Yeah, it's interesting to see like how Ben has grown through the events as well.
Yeah, because you've been there since near the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the first time we were like, it was one-on-one training for like 2 half-hour blocks in Cleveland, and then he went to the group training in Nashville, and you could tell he was a little stressed about that, and Dave had helped a little bit, and then it went on to kind of evolve that group session, but it was like he figured out like, okay, now we're going to rotate through 4 different types of sessions, and then we brought Adam in. Sorry, Adam, before. We have Adam as a coach as well, but hashtag not a coach. And Adam with the powerlifting, showing folks form, and then being able to help them with PRs has been awesome.
Made us fall in love with it.
Yeah.
Jenny and I had never lifted before, and then that the whole powerlifting thing, that's like, we just love it.
Yeah.
That changed everything for us.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Chasing those big numbers.
Welcome, Monica. Oh, hey.
Welcome.
So, you know, he mentioned something, Tyler mentioned something really interesting before he left. You were talking about how he didn't expect it to just be like a lifting camp, but there was also a lot of deep, like mental and emotional work that had to happen. And that's something that was a surprise for me, this being my first event. I was like, oh, lifting camp, you know, like we're just going to be lifting heavy shit. I didn't know I was going to be doing all the heavy shit up here too. You know, that was a big surprise for me, I think.
Yeah. How are you taking that? Like, how does it feel?
You know, so at this point in my quote unquote health or fitness journey, I've lost like on the day 80 to 90 pounds. And whenever someone asks me, I mean, I'm sure you guys get the question too, like, how did you do it? For me, my answer has always been the work started on the inside and it worked outwards.
Yeah.
I fully believe that in order to heal your outside and the physicality of you, you have to really focus on healing what's inside of here first.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of familiar with it. Like, I go to therapy regularly because I think that helps the outside too. But it was intense today, like working with Kira's session. She asked some deep questions. Honestly, I wasn't prepared for it.
That's exciting.
Is that whole human concept, and I often think about that as well, like, what's that tipping point? Why do we stick with this community, and what was that click that made us change our whole lifestyle and also carry it through? I think for me it was a fundamental shift in my own belief in myself. So going from, you know, you know, droning down on that and I don't see an exit to, oh, I could be athletic. Maybe I could be fit. Maybe I could run. Maybe I could, you know, do, you know, things that sports people do. And so once you start believing that thought, which is very much internal, the rest kind of follows.
That's been a big piece for Phoenix, as Kira and Sean were both talking about identity, right? That's what you're talking about. So. Yeah, spot on.
For you, it's going to be huge because I remember you were talking in Belfast about how when you started, it was, you know, your friends were doing all the athletic stuff and you couldn't, and then you changed your identity so that you could.
Yeah.
Because you were working on all the fitness stuff, and that was a big game changer, but now you're becoming a mom.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be the next step. Like, that's exciting.
Well, I led with that when I first met Ben. I said to him, look, you know, my partner and I were talking about starting a family, but where I sit right now, I just don't think of the future in an optimistic way. I don't, I had almost like a sense of panic of the idea of, you know, becoming any bigger, or am I even fit enough for that? So my overarching goal was always this, and I get emotional because, you know, just after a year later, you know, we said, just get healthy. And I was not focusing on fertility or health at all. And it's not to say that I'm recommending this as a fertility treatment, but for me, it was really, once I became healthy, it kind of happened naturally.
Yeah. That's incredible. So Kira today, during her workshop, one of the questions she asked was, what is the thing that's stopping you from achieving the things that you want to achieve, basically? And she had us like type it into our phone what our answers were. And I'm curious if you guys wanted to share your answers.
I mean, mine was that there wasn't it like, what's your belief? And I think for me, it was more that I couldn't really find anything that like should have been like legitimately stopping me, right? Like, yeah. I think I wrote down like a fear of failure, right?
Right.
But when then she turned around and asked the question, it's like, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong about, like, you know, you're not going to fail, or you can try again, whatever the case may be for whatever situation it is. And I was like, shit, she's right. Like, there's no reason to not try it, go for it, whatever the task or situation is. That's what it was for me.
I think you can lose all your life thinking about bad luck and everything bad that has happened to you, and then when you kind of face with the reality that, oh, what if I'm my biggest enemy?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was my biggest enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean when you say that? I'm curious.
So when Belfast, she had a similar question of kind of a, who are you?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't actually know. Who am I, really? And that messed me up for a few months after Belfast. And I was like, who the hell am I? Like, how do I even figure this out? Where do I even go? What do I want? You know, and all that. And so that led me through a lot of work with her. In particular, I ended up signing up with her 101 and went through some pretty deep stuff and exploring a lot of areas in my life that I was just like, wow, I'd never even thought about this or never even wanted to approach this. And it's kind of come to a culmination in this event. The breath work kind of hit me pretty hard. We're just kind of connecting the dots of the past 6 months since Belfast, of just like, you know what, like, what I really want and who I am has been staring me in the face. I've just been scared to commit to it for whatever reason. And so just fear of commitment and fear of failure has been my biggest enemy, which is on me.
Yeah.
So it's been myself that's been blocking me from doing the thing I need to do. I want to do it.
Yeah.
So I just need to accept that and do it. Oh, man.
What up?
What up? What up?
Hey.
We were just talking about like Kira's session today.
Oh, yeah.
And awesome. How she asked a really deep question. What's stopping you basically from achieving the things you want? And Tom was really kind and shared his answer. And do you have an answer on that?
I think a lot about this. It's me every time.
Yeah.
It's playing small. It's getting stuck in your own way. It's finding an easier option, which isn't serving where you want to go. Fundamentally being afraid. And if you can remove the fear, which, like, last week, I was like, right, that's it. You're stopping playing as if there's something to lose here. So go, move, take action. And it's also the illusion that I'll just not do it today. But that's your whole life.
Yeah.
Like that's...
You said last week, so does that mean something happened last week? That
I read a... I'll take it out and I'll read it. It was actually... I like to save stuff on my Notion whenever...
Nice.
Whenever it comes along. And I had it in the notes for this, and it just, I couldn't find a spot to fit it in.
Okay.
I have seen the moment of my greatness flicker, and I have seen the eternal footman hold my coat and snigger, and in short, I was afraid.
Interesting.
So it's like, I looked up, it's like, basically it's T.S. Eliot reflecting at the end of his life, and the end was near, and it's like, and I faltered because I was afraid. It's like, ooh.
One of my favorite quotes, this is so silly, but it says, you can either sacrifice now for the things that you want, or the things that you want become the things that you will sacrifice.
Yeah.
And that so shit true. Hits me so hard every yeah. single time I think about it.
Legit.
What are you most likely to sacrifice?
You know, this is so interesting. There was another quote that it's not even a quote, I'll paraphrase it, but basically it said, you know, being overweight is hard. Going to the gym every day is hard. Choose your hard, you know. And for me, I always made the excuse that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I really struggle with mental health. And specifically a couple of years ago, my depression and anxiety was like really severely rearing its ugly head. And that was the point.
Depression.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. But that was the point where I just made the excuse. I didn't think I was worth it. I didn't think I was worth getting up out of bed every day, going to the gym, trying to improve myself, having healthy relationships with not just people, but honestly, the most important relationship I think we'll ever have is with food. It's the one that never goes away. And that was my biggest struggle. Yeah, and now, yeah, yeah. And now I feel like I've healed a lot of that. So that was my biggest issue.
And is it the relationship with food, or is it the relationship with yourself?
With yourself, yeah, absolutely. To think, do I deserve to like nourish myself with things that are going to make me feel good and want to go to the gym and feel confident and good about myself?
Do you feel so now?
I posted something on Instagram the other day. I had three like progression photos. When I first started my health journey, I was severely overweight. I'm 5'3". I think I was 220 pounds. And my relationship with food was awful. My next progress photo, I'm obviously 5'3", and I was 110 pounds. So literally half the body weight of what I used to be. But I wasn't healthy then either, because I was so skinny. I was literally just skin and bones. And my relationship with food then was awful too. I went from overeating to completely undereating and starving myself. And then the third photo, the one I'd just taken a couple weeks ago, you know, I'm much more muscular. I'm a healthy weight, a healthy BMI. And I was like, finally, I found some kind of healthiness in my relationship with food.
Yeah. What was a turning point?
Not hating myself, honestly. Like not being able to get out of bed because I didn't like who I was. If I'm being completely vulnerable and honest.
What steps did you take to get there?
To get to crawling out of that space, you mean?
So someone noticed.
Being honest with myself, actually, I think it was you who said that today during the session, holding myself accountable, asking myself, why don't I like myself? And that's a really fucking hard question to ask yourself. And to be honest with yourself is even more terrifying. But I think I finally came to terms with it myself about why I didn't like myself. And I was like, I want to change that, you know? So I worked on it.
That's awesome. Being honest with yourself is true. You know,
yeah.
I think from Kira's sessions as well. Oh, hello.
Hello.
We were talking about Kira's sessions a little bit and takeaways and things like that. And I think for me, just generally, not just this session, but also Belfast and other sessions we've done throughout virtually with Kira, the number one thing that struck me is that notion of the importance of being authentic. And it's in every aspect of my life that I've been afraid to be myself, because I was worried that being myself, that I'm an asshole, that I'm a bad person, or if I'm myself, that's a bad thing. But I think the more I was able to connect with this and unlock it, the better I feel in every aspect of life. So, for example, I work in sales, and I sell software. It's super overcrowded. There are so many software tools that you can choose from, and people don't even like to speak to salespeople anymore. They'll just research on their own. They'll make their decision before they even come and talk to you. And when they do, there is a method to the madness. There is a process. There is methodology. But none of that stuff will set you apart. The only thing that's unique in the formula is me. And that took me so long to realize and gain confidence in, because it made... When I first dabbled with the idea, it made me feel like, again, the asshole. Why am I so special? But then once you start living in your own truth, you realize I'm just another child of this universe. I have my place. So there is something unique about me. And if I show that in the first conversation, in that first interaction, that's the best thing I could do. And that's exactly the way I think about, you know, becoming a wife, becoming a mom. If I could just be me, that's it. I don't need to do anything else.
You transcend the roles that you were talking about, and it's truly who you are.
Yeah.
Not just the role or the name.
It's hard to be yourself. It's really hard.
Scary.
Yeah.
Sure. It's really hard, but it's important to keep trying.
Yeah.
In a conversation with another member of the WeHack Health Group, it was around being yourself and trying to be for everybody. And it's like, you're not going to be for everybody, and everybody's not going to be for you.
Yeah.
So that in itself is freeing.
Yeah.
But whenever you make the effort to be yourself, your people find you. And then, because there's people looking for who you are, and you've got to like raise your hand, like, I'm here. But whenever you're pleasing other people, that's not being Sean. So the people who are interested in Sean,
yeah,
I'll attract people that I don't want to attract.
Yeah.
And then that pisses me off further, because I'm surrounded by people who are drawn to the persona I put out. And then it just spirals on and on and on.
So I think the overweight, the health problems, the laziness, those are signs of your body or your, you know, signals in your life telling you that maybe, you know, you should find out who you are and what that means.
For me, that didn't register.
Yeah.
Even going through this journey, what have you, it didn't register till probably a month or so ago. I was out with some folks and we were at a thing, and I looked around and they had said some things that I just was like, I don't want to. This is not who I am. Like, I don't know who I am, but this isn't it. Like, this isn't the life that I want to lead. These aren't the people I want to be around. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It was a very powerful experience. They didn't see that, but internally I was like, yeah. Like, this isn't who I am. And then I realized, okay, if this isn't who I am, then who am I? And it started leading to, okay, well, I could figure out some other stuff. And to your point, realizing, oh, I don't have to be liked by everyone and like everyone else.
Yeah, but it's hard as fuck.
Yeah, and it is terrifying to think about, but it is free. And like, some of the breath work today, some of the thoughts that were going through my head, I don't know if you saw, but I was sobbing.
In the glass of in a clever
mouth. Streaming down, yeah. But it was powerful, and that was some of the thoughts I had. It was pretty intense. But yeah, thanks.
Talking about the breath work?
Talking about being yourself.
Yeah, you were...
Yeah, that breath work, it put me in another world, for real. I was not expecting that. Like, I feel like he said it was 40 minutes, and I think at least myself, I was like, all right, buckle up, you know? And then I feel like, I think you did a really good job of just timing it up, like the way you were talking and the music. I'd have to assume you selected that in a certain order. But
that's actually the Colorado playlist.
No, really?
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't. I was going to play that and I changed it. Sorry, it wasn't. Yeah.
I just feel like the first 5 or 7 minutes, you have to just trust it. Like, I had to feel like, don't write this off. Like, just you just kept saying, like, just believe in it and take it and just let it be what it does to you. I really like how you said, just let thoughts come and go as they please. And yeah, I feel like I probably, like, 20 minutes in, I just started feeling tears. I'm like, what am I doing right now? What is... But honestly, like, for myself, just what I took away from it was, I think, like, again, we all have anxiety at some point or some level. For some, it's worse than others. I feel like for myself, I try to tell myself I don't have anxiety, and I just, like, let it. Just, I'm just like, oh, whatever, I got to figure it out. But I think that builds. I put a lot of pressure on myself, especially, like, owning a business. And I was talking to them earlier, like, I always feel like I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not successful. And then, but we were talking, like, 5 years ago, if you told me where I was today, I'd be, like, so proud of myself. But I'm here now, and I'm, like, not proud of myself for some reason. And, like, today was just, like, fuck. I was just, like, letting it all out. You're, like, you are capable. You are, like, people are here because of you. And I think, like, people show up to my gym every fucking day, and, like, that's amazing, you know? And I think I'm just some dude, like, and I just own a gym, and people fucking show up, and it's, like, such a cool thing. But I'm so worried about the numbers and the revenue and this, that, and the other that I kind of get lost in, like, people are fucking showing up. They're paying you to, like, put them through a workout. They're trusting you with the most important thing that they have, is not their health. It's pretty amazing. So thank you for letting me, like, feel that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for meeting it. And that's one of the things I love. It's like I kind of drift towards meditation or breath work at different times. It's like meditation can take, like, effort and it'll, like, be challenging. Whereas with breath work, if you connect your breathing for 10 minutes, it's like that critical part of your mind switching off. You know, like if you just, as you say, I'm going to trust the process, like 10, 15 minutes in, it's like, oh, you've dropped in.
Yeah.
It's like there's a fly behind my
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I think I don't know if you were just, like, speaking it into existence, but, like, my arms were literally numb. I felt like, I was like, I really liked that you were just, like, move, like, feel what feels right. So a few times I was, like, kind of stretching and just, like, letting it just flow how it flowed. And it was hard. Like, I don't think there was any fighting back the emotion. It was just, like, there. It was super powerful. Like, I even called my wife, and I'm like, I don't know how to explain this to you. You're going to feel like I'm fucking the madman, but, like, I don't know if he put us under hypnosis, but whatever it was, like, it worked. Whatever he was talking about, like, that was one of the most powerful things I've ever done. Seriously. That was incredible.
One of the things I forgot to say is that, like, when you talk about people, like, describe it to me. It's like, don't feel you need to talk about the experience, because unless you've experienced it, you can't really talk about it.
No. I think it's, if I had to relate it to anything, it's like when you go on a really cool trip and you see mountains or a really cool sunset, and, like, the pictures never do it justice. Like, that's,
yeah,
you just can't, there's no way to explain it until you feel it, and you're like, yeah.
Beautiful. We've just been joined by the chef.
Yes.
The head chef.
The real MVP of the whole experience.
The guy that has fueled. How's your
I cook experience? A wee bit. I don't know about chef.
Yeah.
I cook a wee bit.
No playing small. No diminishing.
My feet hurt.
Yeah.
My back hurts. I've been on my feet a long day. Long day today.
Mm.
It's just right. I enjoy it, though. I enjoy it. And I like seeing people enjoy the food. And if there's nothing left, they enjoyed the food. You know what I mean? So I enjoy that part of it.
Yeah.
I'm not a big socializer.
Yeah.
As you can see, I keep disappearing. But no, I enjoy cooking the food. And I think it's nice if you know what people want to eat, you know, so, yeah, it's hard work sometimes. I was speaking to one of the guys, and I says, do you track your steps? And he went, yeah. He says, I've got 16,000 now, and I've done 38, and I've not left the house. 38,000 steps around the kitchen, like, that's not.
That's incredible.
It's been fun doing it, you know, and especially with the shops and all. Obviously, it's my first time in the States, and going to the shops and seeing the different produce and seeing the quantities and different types of food that you can get, and that's been an eye-opener, you know. But the produce is fantastic. The fresh produce is beautiful. Like, it doesn't travel, it doesn't have to travel.
Okay, so is this your first time in the US?
Yeah.
Okay, so thoughts so far?
I've been a few other places around the world, but this is the first time in the States. But just silly things like cutting the limes, the smell of the limes.
Yeah.
I bought some beetroot. We're going to do a beetroot and feta salad. And I cut the beetroot. And I said to Trish, it sounds funny, but the beetroot feels lovely.
Yeah.
It's a strange thing, but the beetroot, so nice. Yeah. And she said, she picked it up and she went, oh.
It's not like a, it's not like a board.
I see what you mean. Really strange. But the produce is fantastic. I mean, we have big shops when you come across here, and the size of them are just, it's just, can't figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
But it's great. We haven't been any further than the kitchen.
Yeah.
Kitchen, Whole Foods, and fries.
Yeah. Well, I think even Sean said, he's like, I'm convinced this is how all Americans live. And I'm like, I can confirm this is not this how is all Americans live. This is a very nice complex compound.
This is fantastic.
Oh yeah, it really is. It's incredible. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's absolutely incredible. And it leads into that. It gives the opportunity for that community to come together and, you know, sit around a fire and talk and chat and enjoy and swap stories and talk about the challenges that they're facing and the victories that they've had and all that. I mean, it's just wonderful.
Yeah. It's been a cool experience overall. But I will say, we were talking about, like, again, like how Sean was saying, like, this is how Americans live. And I'm like, talking to Dave, like, what the price of a place like this would get you here versus like in Ohio.
Yeah.
Like in Ohio.
I think that's the same wherever you go.
It's the same
we're in the UK. We could go 10 miles down the road and what you could get for one price here, you wouldn't even think about going somewhere else. But I think that aspect doesn't change, does it?
Yeah, no.
Nah. It's just, no, it's funny.
Yeah.
The food has been, I'm telling you, like, I feel like I'm starting to become the guy who's like waiting for the seconds.
Kyle asked me a strange question. He just came up to me and went, what's your favorite potato? And I was like, what? He went, what's your favorite potato? I asked him, I went, Dauphin Wild Potatoes. He went, what's that? Do you know what Dauphin Wild Potatoes are?
No, what are they?
Okay, so it's thin layer potato.
Okay.
Thinly sliced potato.
Okay.
Layered with a buttercream mix in between.
Okay.
And you bake it and then you press it.
It sounds delicious.
And then turn it. So Kyle called it a potato lasagna.
I love it. It's basically delicious.
It's basically what it is, but it's full fat, like.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic.
I like it.
Made a potato.
But I won.
You won. Yeah, absolutely. Won. Yeah.
Any potato I've ever eaten is good. French, I mean, baked potato mash, garlic, thin slice, French fries, tater tots. Yeah. I mean, any form of potato.
It's a strange question that you ask me.
Yeah. What's the shopping experience market wise here versus back home?
Well, the fresh produce is,
that's just the biggest thing you notice.
Unbelievable, yeah. And it's the amount of different types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I got confused with the coffee and I bought beans instead of the ground because I just got confused and I was like, I panicked. The wall of produce and I panicked. And it says to Trish, don't leave me on my own. So I just picked one, and I told you about, I picked up the beans rather than the ground. But I mean, you saved me because you've got the grinder. So we went to Fry's. I know there's lots of other different places around here. I quite like Fry's. We went to Whole Foods today.
Yeah.
I put there. The other thing I thought was, so they had a wall of fresh produce and they were squirting water onto it.
Yeah.
Which I found amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. To kind of help keep it fresh and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was great. So, but the fresh produce is just, say, second to none.
Do you feel like the choices in terms of the food and food selection is overwhelming as opposed to
A little bit overwhelming. But I think the second day we went to Fry's, we knew where we were going. We knew what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went to Whole Foods today, I was like, where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but everyone was so great. So in Fry's, they were like, so some fella come up to us and said, is there anything you need? You know, there's anything you can't find. You were like, no, we're fine. And he must have asked us two or three times, so he must have looked lost.
Yeah, yeah.
He must have been like, you know, I don't know, sheep in the headlights or something. But it was, it's a good experience. It's a nice experience to see the different quality of foods. Like, the food's fantastic. Like, good to cook with.
Yeah,
you know, it's good to produce nice food. So.
Yeah, yeah. This may have already been asked, but what you personally, as you've seen all these folks, you know, you've come to an event like this. What have you taken from it thus far?
Everyone's very friendly.
Yeah.
Everyone's committed.
Yeah.
But what you're going through, you have to be committed. It's a lot of self-belief, and mm-hmm. you have to want to do what you're doing. Ben doesn't tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. He gives you the tools yeah. to do it for yourself.
He tells us a little what to do, but yeah, he can't force us.
You've got to be committed to do that.
Okay. Yeah. And you feel like you've seen that from these folks? Yeah? Yeah? Has it changed?
I watched you fall on the on the basketball court. Downward facing dog.
Yeah.
That's the funniest thing to see.
Yeah.
You see Big Dave just here.
Yeah.
Doing the work.
That was, I had to stop what I was doing and just watch out the window. Yeah. That was quite amusing. But
do you feel like, has it changed your perspective on the health and fitness industry at all, that you've seen it live in your personal experience?
I was quite big into the health and fitness, and then I changed jobs, and I just don't have the structured, that's an excuse, I don't have the structured approach in my job to warrant going. I like going the same time every day. My job doesn't facilitate that.
Okay.
So I've got out the way of it. But I was big into it. I was a while back. But I'm 53 now. That's not an excuse either.
No, but.
I just never seem to have the time.
Yeah.
Again,
time is elastic. Sure.
But I think a lot of folks, time is a challenge.
Yeah.
And a lot of these folks here will tell you that time
it's 100%
was a challenge.
Yeah, it's probably my biggest challenge is you fit it in where you can. You stop doing things that aren't that important. Like it's not a time problem. It's a priority problem.
Yeah.
Right. If it's a higher priority, and Ben tells me that all the time. He's like, you don't have a time problem. You have a priority problem. Mm-hmm. If it's important to you, you'll figure out how to make it work. And you do.
I'm trying to get all these children to me. I'm getting towed up.
I think
part of the charm there.
Yeah.
Time is like one of the hardest things to like truly claim back. Like you've established so many like other aspects of your life that you've given like that kind of permission to take that time. And then it's like, actually, no, work, I need, an extra 30 here, or family, I need an extra 45 here. And like building those times and like creating those boundaries and having the discipline to stick with those boundaries, I think is like really one of the heaviest lifts when getting into like this as a lifestyle, because it's just one of those things that is hard to take back from other people and other priorities, and it's not something you can actually regenerate or get back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just one of the things that you just got to do it or it won't happen.
For me, one of the things is to stop feeling guilty about taking the time, right? Like, yes. I run a company and it's like I block out 3 days a week to get lunch, go work out, because it's the time I have. And it's really easy to feel guilty about that, but you realize that like all of the other ancillary benefits we get from it, the like more energy, the more focus, the more like all of that stuff benefits the business way more than that hour and a half I take three times a week to do this.
I haven't got the question.
So in terms of time and how much time is dedicated to this or the challenges involved with trying to find the time to do this?
The time to train?
For health and fitness, to train, self-improvement.
What do I think about the time? To me, like, I think it's important to find what's important in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, I will like prioritize my time for it.
Mm-hmm.
And even in general, like you say, health and fitness, but I think it's important that we find the time for ourselves, and might be fitness, but also the health. To me, it's also like mental health, physical mm-hmm. health, it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not too old, but from my age, what I've been learning also is that before, I used to really give my time for people because I'm very passionate with what I do mm-hmm. as a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm passionate to share my knowledge, to give stuff to people. But also I'm very into like mental health as well. So I'm very passionate, and sometimes it takes a lot of my time and energy. Mm-hmm. And so I was
giving it to other
people. I was giving a lot, but I wasn't giving to myself.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm a giver. I really give mm-hmm. a lot, and sometimes I forget to give to myself a lot. And so, like, I've learned throughout the last 5 years to really take more time for my own health and my mm-hmm. own time. And sometimes I was also feeling guilty to work a lot
mm-hmm.
and not training myself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I wasn't putting enough of that. Yeah, I wasn't putting myself first. And I've tried now. I'm still super passionate with what I do. I still love my job. I still give a lot to my clients, but I really dedicate more time for myself.
Mm-hmm. Which in turn improves...
To improve my health, like...
But it also improves the services you can give your clients.
Yeah, totally, right. Totally, because when I'm focused and I work, I know that's the time I have for them. Mm-hmm. So I'm really fully on. Mm-hmm. And I don't count too much. Sometimes I still like go over the time that I would like to work, but you know, like we're all human, so sometimes, you know, one person will need more time and I will dedicate a little bit more time.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I don't feel drained like I used to in the past.
Yeah.
By giving too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But whenever you ask, who do you love? Ben's daughter, who is 4, said, well, I have to love myself.
Mm. Yes, mm-hmm. That's big.
I think it's the biggest principle to
And
have.
She's 4 years old.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and she realized how important it was that she loved her own person. Mm-hmm. And she says, if I love my own self, I am happy.
She's 4 years old. Yeah. Things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
She's well on her way.
He's training her already.
It's such a big principle, I think.
And like, she can also squat an 8 kg kettlebell.
Hey, yeah. Here we go.
The real thing is important. If you don't love yourself, you can't give and share to others. Like,
and that's it. That's it right there.
Yeah.
If you don't, too often, especially in the InfoSec industry, in the hacker industry, right? There's so much drive to move forward, to keep going, right? That you put yourself last. Yeah. You sacrifice yourself.
100%.
And I speaking for myself, I can speak for other people. I found that everything else suffered because I was driving so hard towards these other things.
Yeah.
When I finally pulled back and started focusing on, okay, I need to improve my health, my wellness, everything improved. My relationship with my family improved. My work improved. My work-life balance improved. Everything got better when I slowed down and went back and looked at what I needed to do to fix myself. And then that had a ripple effect. Other people started seeing, oh man, he's losing weight. He's more active. He's got more energy. I want some of what he's got. What are you doing different, man? And it opens up those conversations that you could have with people.
It's long-term not good for the industry either, right? Because those people burn out and they suffer mental health issues and their productivity goes down and all of those other negative side effects that come along with that. Like, it's a very short-sighted attitude to like grind yourself into the ground like that.
Mm. Yeah.
But when you're a hacker, do you work on your own?
No, I mean, I'm not. I'm one of the rare non-InfoSec people in here. I run a managed services provider, but there is team sport to it, but there's also solo. And I think a lot of times, especially up and coming companies and hackers, they do work alone and they work hard to make a name for themselves.
So when you're a hacker, how do you decide that you want to improve your health? Like what changes, what makes you want to do something that is going to improve yourself?
So it was interesting. So like, I'm not like the quote unquote hacker, you know, for me, like I was an InfoSec guy and then being more of like an infrastructure guy and all that stuff. Like it was my kids.
Yep.
I remember there was that idea that I want to be there for them in the long term. And then there was like a weird, like little TikTok I saw and I loved it because he was like, I don't work out so I can be there for my kids. I work out so I can crush my kids as long as possible.
I saw that.
Yeah. So it's like that. So for me, it's like, it's being there. So like, I'm on the field with them. They're doing sports. They're doing this. I want to be active with them. So I don't want to be tired at the end of my day and not be able to spend time with them. When my kids come in at the end of the day, they come in, like I end my day at 5, they come in at 3:30. They give me that.
How old are your kids?
They're 8 and 10. Yeah. And so they come in, they give me that hug, and like that's my cue.
My kids still hug me and they're like
no, but
36 to 26.
I hope they do, and I hope they still do. Like my 10-year-old, and I always was like worried, like at what age does he stop hugging me? And he hugs me in public, he hugs me in front of his kids. Which I love, and I never want that to end, but I feel like if you don't disconnect the right way, like if you're not in the right mental mindset, you're going to stop doing that with your kids because you're like, well, I've got to work. And I remember I had a check-in with Ben. I said, I missed my workout today because it was the choice between the workout or spending time with my kids. My kids have to be the priority. And then when I got my check-in from him and he said to me, he's like, that was the right choice. So, but the mindset is still there. It's like, I know I need to be better for them. I need to set the bar for them. I need to make sure that they know what's going on and that they're safe and they're healthy and they're happy and all that stuff. But I wasn't going to give up time to them.
We talked a little last night. Like, mine are 8 and 11. I have two boys, and they're getting old enough now. I live about an hour from Cedar Point, and they're getting old enough to start to ride those roller coasters, and I was too fat to fit on them. Right. So it's like, I want to go on the roller coasters with the kids. So it's like, I got to, it's energy to sports and all those other things, but even just little things like that, I'm too big to get on the roller coasters with them. And like, they will only ever ride it a first time once. Right. So like, if I'm too big to go on it, I just miss it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting things.
I don't know. I think whenever you bring up your kids, you don't really know what you're doing, you know, so you're just kind of winging it and you're hoping that everything's going to be okay. And like my children, like Ben's 10 years older than my daughter, and then I have two more boys after that. And you know, you like, I just want my children to be happy, and you just want them to enjoy their life. So you spend all this time trying to, I don't know, to
ask yourself if you're doing things right.
Yeah, you don't know if you're doing things right. So
as a mom though, right? Like, you spend all this time providing for them. You spend all this time doing that work for them, right? When do you take the time for you so you can be a better mom for them in all that time?
I didn't. I was the mom and the dad when my kids grew up, and I did. I just worked, and like my younger kids would say that when I worked, they became self-sufficient. And
but so let me ask you this. So say you were like in our roles, right? You had one of these seats, and you could reverse those roles a little bit, and you were really asking yourself, like, how could I be a better mom? What are the things I could do? Do you think this is something you would have done? To think about, like, could I be a better mom because I was stronger, fitter, healthier, you know, all of that?
Yeah.
And that could have made you a better mom because you took some time for you.
Yeah. I think I never had time to take time for me, but now I do. So I go to the gym. I try to do things that I want to do, and like, I'm still there for my kids. It doesn't matter what age they are, you know. And like, Ben and I, the longest we've ever been apart was he spent a month in America, and that is the longest in 36 years we've been apart. It was awful.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Good. But I also think, like, now compared to before, it's something that came up a lot more in the, you know, in our life, regarding the fact that we should take more time for ourselves, for our health, you know, with all the people that they have depression, with work, with too much work, too much, like, thinking about money, about, like, you know, all these material things. And I think now it's something that we'll become more aware of it. And so we all take more, we attach more attention to that. We're like, okay, we need to, even me, I don't have kids, I'm less by myself, you know, but I found that I need to take more time for myself, because I was saying, like, we give a lot to people, we do a lot for others. And I think it can be a good way to see, like, okay, I need to actually take care of myself, for my health, to be able to jump, play with them, whatever. But also, I think in general, like, everyone is awakened about the fact that, yeah, we need to be more focused toward ourselves before the others. It's not being selfish, but just to give better to the other, to give better service, to give better emotions, to be a better person for the other. I think we all know now that we need to work on ourselves.
So let me ask you that. So, and I agree, right? So, like, you want to, you're building those habits now. Mm-hmm. So now you're integrated in this kind of crazy group that's here. What do you find as a coach, right? Is there, like, you're a competitive gymnast, you know, all these amazing things, like, through your youth, and now you're seeing, like, all of us crazy people here. Like, what are your thoughts? So if you were to look forward 10 years, what are you thinking? Like, if you wanted to be a mom, like, what kind of mom are you going to be? Like, what, how is this shaping, like, your thoughts when you think forward? I think, because
that's a big question.
Yeah, that's a
good question. I think it's a good question, though.
Look, to be honest, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm someone that really, I'm not going to say I live day by day. Like, I still think about the future, but I'm not saying, like, oh, I'm going to be this type of mom, because I think you can't expect how you're going to be, even though you think you will be in some way. Like, I have the example with my family, like, my sister-in-law, she's like so different as she used to be before she had a kid. And she even said now, my niece, she's like 10, and she said, like, I would have never expected becoming like that. She was really attached to her, but she's super chill. And so, like, you don't know how, I think I don't know how I would be, even though I would want to be a certain way. I don't want to put pressure on myself or thinking, like, I have to be like that to be a good mom. I don't think there's a good way to be a good mom, a good father. Like, I think time you give the best you can do, we all will make mistakes. And, like, but is this also part of the journey, I think. So I don't know. It's a hard question. Like,
I think the most important part of that, right, to me, as not a coach, whatever it is at this point, is that
Adam, not the coach. I hate to tell you, Adam, you kind of are coach.
Hashtag yes, a cult.
Hashtag I had to pull a lot of weight yesterday.
After the yoga earlier, hashtag yes, a cult. But that's the thing, right? Like, I think that there's this idea, and Lorena was talking about it, that. And maybe other people have been talking, we might have been talking about it for the whole podcast at this point, but there's the line between selfish and unselfish and doing things for ourselves and doing things for others. And a recurring theme, especially in the Hacks group that I've seen, is people who join because they feel a gap. They feel a need to be healthier, fitter, stronger, more present for their families, more present for people around them. And one of the first things they have to do, and this is something that whoever's around for Marquette, I hope they ask him because he's the poster child for it. Jen, you are too. Yeah. Is this idea of taking time for yourself.
Yeah.
It's not selfish to step back and say, I need an hour a day for me, for whatever the fuck I want to do for me. Sometimes that means lifting. Sometimes that's mindfulness, breath work. Right? Like, Brian, your job, your professional life is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And you find the time to make time.
Yeah, I mean, you've been, I feel like you have been on call literally the entire time we've been
I
here.
I have, yeah.
You have been it's on crazy. Calls, right?
Every one of these events.
Yeah, but that's going to say Colorado was the same.
Yeah, but the same in Colorado,
but
yeah.
At the same time, like, we've had time to spend with you and talk with you and learn about you and all that stuff. So, like, do you feel like you're figuring out a balance?
I'm working on it. That's, you know, like more than my workouts or anything else. Like the biggest thing that Ben is like constantly impressing upon me is figuring out that balance. My wife likes to talk about balance and doesn't exist in my life. Not really, but like there are aspects of it. Right. So for me, like the whole, you know, going back to some of the things you were talking about, the way that I got into this is I woke up, you know, probably 3.5 years ago on my birthday and was like, hey, I don't feel right. I don't, you know, like I've got adult children, but we decided to start over. So I also have two young children and like, you know, I'm going to be in my 60s before they graduate high school. So I better do something now.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like, not only do I need, you know, to focus on myself in order to be able to be of service to them, but, you know, I need that for longevity purpose. Mm-hmm. I need that for the energy. And, you know, like you said, Adam, my schedule's insane. Yeah. So, you know, the only way that I can even conceivably keep up the pace or even start to match the pace that I'm not matching is by focusing on me more.
Yeah. Well, like Jen, you have what, two kids, right?
Yes.
And then Thomas.
Yeah. It's only three. Three kids.
And like, I feel like one of the things that I noticed from you joining Hacks and meeting in Colorado Springs, Pitt, all that, is this renewed sense of focus on yourself and what you want and who you want to be and where you want to go.
1,000%.
And that's such a, like, what has that been for you, right? What does that look like for you over the last year?
Oof.
small questions only, yeah. Right? Yeah.
It's a big, big question. I mean, genuinely, it has been taking a step back and saying, okay, for the last 13 years, my focus has been my kids, and I've been giving everything to my kids to the point where you just go into the back seat and you don't take care of yourself and you don't, you know, take the time to go exercise because you'd rather be doing something with them or you have to be doing something with them. And then it just becomes less of a choice and more of just something that you do, and it just snowballs. And then until one day you wake up and you're like, oh man, like, I don't feel good. I feel gross.
Exactly.
I don't look right. Like, and then you stop and you think, okay, I need to change it so that I can be around for my kids. Mm-hmm. And not just, I mean, I could just by luck be around for my kids, but then I might just be a burden for my kids, you know, if I'm not healthy.
And I definitely don't want to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I, from experience, like with my own dad, mm-hmm. like, I'm like, wow, that is a lot. That is a lot to take on as a child, especially when, like, your parent is young enough, like early 50s. Like, I don't want to be a burden for anyone in my early 50s. I don't want to be sitting here at 36, like having to take care of my, it just felt too soon.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to the point where Thomas and I were a year ago, we were like, wow, we need to make a change. We need to make it quick. And so, and it feels, I'm not going to lie, it feels a little bit selfish at times, because it has been quite a big shift where, you know, it's a little less about the kids this past year, more about us. But then I always just have to like remind myself, like, it's okay. It's okay, because at the end of the day, it's just all going to go right back around to the kids.
Yeah, that energy you get back from being selfish for those moments, right? You can reinvest that in your children. If I'm remembering right, I don't think we've even met formally. Adam, nice to meet you, man. Yeah. And then new-ish father.
I've got a one-and-a-half-year-old.
Yeah. That's new enough.
Yeah.
So, like, does what Jen's saying resonate with you for taking some time for yourself and your family for your family's sake, right? Does that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, like we were saying, a lot of the impetus to get started with this journey was wanting to be able to keep up with my eventual toddler. And now that he's running around the house, it's really awesome here that I've been doing this for 10 months already. I feel like I can keep up with that. But yeah, it certainly does feel like, you know, I've got to put my wife, Kate, stuff on her to say, okay, I got to go work out for an hour now. And this is time that
she gets to do the same. She's in the group, right?
She's also in the group now, so she gets to do the same. And we do that trade off. But, you know, I think it's certainly been a change, and changing my mindset around just health and fitness as well has been important, because I was in the military for about six years in the Air Force, and it was my job and I had to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when I got out, I was like, thank God I never have to work out again.
Can grow a bit of a beard, right? Yeah.
And I tried to do that. I didn't work out. I ate whatever I wanted, gained 30 pounds in 6 months. And, you know, it was a wake-up call, and eventually just kind of back and forth, but really decided to join this program and be really intentional about making a change when my kid came along.
No, I think that's part of it, right, is building that foundation to teach good habits and good cycles and good decision-making.
Yes.
And the way that all of that works, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, no kids. Okay. So hearing two parents talk about this, right, thoughts? What does that tell you about why you're doing this?
Yeah, I mean,
does it get fucking huge or what? Yeah.
I think at the minute it's very much for me, and it sounds like I kind of caught the tail end of that conversation. Is it kind of switches at a point from you're working like for yourself, it's like, okay, now I've got responsibilities and I've got little humans that rely on me. Mm-hmm. It's not maybe for myself anymore, it's because I need to be there for them.
Well, and I think it's still, and I'm not a parent myself, right? But like, it still is for you, right?
Yeah.
And that's the what I'm getting for you. It's for you, so you can be more present, so you can take that time. And I mean, for me, it's been like long hours, stressful days, late nights, all that kind of professional security stuff. But that hour or two a day that I take for myself makes me better at my job, right? Spending time with Sean for the 555 Club, that little 15-minute reset makes me better. And I mean, are you finding the same kind of thing from working with the group and just engaging in Discord?
Yeah, and I think for me, I kind of get the dual benefit of being super early on in my career, being able to learn from everyone. It's been really, I mean, especially this week, just being able to see the career paths that people are taking. Like, there is really no typical path into cyber. And like this week, I've really, really seen that personified. Like, a lot of people have got like military background, but like everyone's path into the industry is so, so varied. Mm-hmm. And it's been really inspiring to kind of see how that happens. Cause like I'm kind of leaning towards my like software development at the moment, but like adjacent to cyber, and it's like such a closely related field. We work so closely together.
Please, AppSec. Please, for the love of God, AppSec. Right?
But like they're kind of the skills you need. Like if you yeah. do application development, a lot of people probably start in software development and then move into that. But kind of seeing the journey that everyone's taken and like just seeing like what Dave's done, for example, like the path that he's taken and mm-hmm. kind of what he's doing at the moment and like the amount of things that he's doing. I was talking to one of my friends about Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And started working with Ben on some of the Discord side of stuff. So he's not really seen Ben from the fitness side, but how he's managing this community of 2,000-3,000 people. And it's like, how did Ben fall into this? It's like, it's such a random niche to kind of be coaching like cybersecurity professionals on fitness and health. And a bit, it's a niche that's worked so well. And it's like, it's coming together.
Yeah.
Group of what, 42 of us. Just fitness and cyber, and it's just I've had such a we're not even halfway through yet, but it's like such a good time.
Well, there's the I've made this joke with Ben before, there's the Rorschach thing from Watchmen from the movie where he's not stuck with us, we're stuck with him.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of those things where just from growing and communities that thing we talk about a lot, right? But I think that's what these weeks really do, is they bring people from so many different backgrounds together, so many different places. Like Jen, you're not even in the industry. Me.
I hear about it.
You by osmosis, right? That's how I picked up military stuff, right? Military friends, military family, my girlfriend's a Marine, and I think she'll be here this weekend, which will be kind of fun. But there's this whole thing where there is no right path. There's no right path for security, but there's also no right path for fitness, right? Like, that's like saying, hey, I won the lottery because I can deadlift X amount of weight.
Yeah.
How did you do that? Like, it diminishing returns over time. What are your lottery numbers, right? For how you pull your deadlift. Right. That's not how this works. It's about growth over time and finding friends and building that relationship, those connections with people.
Yeah.
To just empower each other, and I think that's a hugely valuable part of this, especially for the in-person stuff.
Yes, I think the thing that's been really interesting this week is like having like the three full coaches we've had here, and they've got such a different perspective on all of these different things.
I'm out. Talk shit.
Hashtag not a coach.
Yeah.
See you later.
No, hey guys, catch me up. Hey.
So I was just saying, like, it's been really interesting this week. We've had so many different coaches.
Yeah.
And seeing how Ben does stuff, to seeing how, like, how Travis does stuff, and Adam and Dave. And they've all got different styles of, like, coaching us through stuff. And it's like, I was doing bench press the other day, and Ben was like, oh, well, you need to put it flat. And then put it on an incline. And then Travis comes along and says, oh, you know, I programmed that. You should do it flat as well. And it's like, okay. But it's like, it's different perspective on all of these kind of things. And it's like, it was interesting to see how they program different things, like for the gym day we had yesterday and like what's coming up tomorrow.
But it's kind of nice because if something doesn't work for you, you have another option that, you know, you can decide on and do that instead. Because like Adam said, it's not a one size fits all. Like, so it's really nice. I've been really enjoying it. When I've been to the other events, like, you know, Kira and Sean were in Ireland. And so it is really nice now to have not just like the mindset, but also to have different perspectives on like actual like lifting. So like you said, like with Travis, and Adam, I like yesterday, was it yesterday at the gym? Yeah. I learned so many new things, like things that I wish I'd known before joining the group, because I feel like sometimes when you are too scared to go to the gym, or I don't know, maybe just you can't even afford to go to the gym or afford to hire a coach, and you just feel like you're stuck and you can't do anything, and you just want to be home. And you're like, well, I don't know what to do, or I don't have weights, or I don't have whatever. And Travis just taught me so many things that you could just do with a strap. And it's like, wow, like I feel like the general public doesn't know this, and it would be like really beneficial if it was more common knowledge.
Yeah. Why do you think that is, as far as like people getting started? I mean, obviously everyone comes from nothing, right? Everyone has to start from somewhere and learn, of course. But do you think, I feel like a lot of people, like they work out, but then they sort of stop at a certain point. Like, I would think that all of us had some experience working out, or like, you know, were runners or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe got out of it, maybe, you know, came back in and found this group. And
like, what, why do you think people don't seek that kind of, like, is it just access as far as
I think it's really intimidating. So yeah. I was always really big into cardio, go running a lot, because running, you can just throw on some shoes, step out your door, and just move on the pavement.
Yeah.
But once you step into a gym, there's hundreds of pieces of equipment.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what to do. Am I going to hurt myself? All these people look so big. People are staring at me. And you want somebody to kind of show you the ropes and what should I be doing and what's appropriate for a beginner and what's not. And that's what's been so great about this experience is getting to get those perspectives from the different coaches and hear it explained in different ways too. Sometimes you just need to hear it explained in just the right way when you're learning something.
Yeah.
And somebody might have a better way of explaining things that works for you.
Yeah. I think it's the community as well that is the reason that so many people, once like they join the group, stick with it and make it a life habit, because you're not just the typical like personal trainer relationship. Is you have the relationship, you have it in person, you go 2-3 times a week, and that's kind of and your relationship with the gym, and you go and it's done. It's like that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas this really extends into everything you do. Like it does the nutrition, it does how you're feeling on a certain day, like how well your food digested and all of these kind of things that don't normally come with that normal PT relationship. And it's the community of people saying, oh, like I was doing these, like this particular exercise in the gym and it didn't feel quite right. And okay, maybe Ben's not there because it's midnight in Ireland, but there's a bunch of other people in the chat that are really, really willing and ready to help you.
Yeah, completely agree. No, it's been like a lot of fun. And even like you were talking about community, like I had such a blast yesterday on our first day, like just lifting with Clayton and Brenton, because like we were all cheering each other on. We were all like giving each other critiques and like looking at each other's form. And like, I know moving forward, right, that I'm going to have people that I know that I'm comfortable talking with now because I've spent time with them in person, that if I've got a question, they can answer it, or you know, they know enough about me to understand kind of where I'm coming from, which is really cool.
Yeah. And we had an absolute blast in the gym yesterday.
We did.
You guys looked awesome.
Yeah. No, we were having time. I mean, we were taking our time, but we were going really hard on each exercise.
Yeah.
And it was just fun to be able to do it in a group.
Yeah.
Because normally it's like that kind of online PT relationship is you're doing it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the community and it keeps you going. But like sometimes like in person, these events just really kind of drive at home.
I usually work out by myself, and the experience of having people there with you just pushes you so much harder. I did so much more yesterday than I thought I possibly would.
It's like me and Alex you can get the three more reps. Like
I feel it today.
I'm more sore when you're other people than by yourself.
Definitely. I mean, there was a moment yesterday when I like did my first deadlifted really for the first time, and like got up to 185, like was like, absolutely not, can't do this. And then Adam comes in and it's like, you can do it. And then I ended up doing it, right? And so like having someone actually tell you and like kind of override that voice in your head that's saying, no, I can't, is pretty awesome.
You really know how far you can take your body or take really anything until you really somebody help you push yourself.
So many people. I mean, did you hit a PR yesterday?
I just like this the fact of getting to be on there, really push yourself harder. I don't even PRs necessarily, but just like just doing being able to push yourself a little bit further than I think I was able to do. It was also cool being able to like work out by yourself a lot. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be kind of like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or like, I'm not pushing myself enough or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you other people, it's like, okay, I'm doing pretty well. And then also too, it's the, you know, helping other people out. It's really kind of, kind of cool and fun.
Yeah.
But the, it was definitely cool being around everybody.
Definitely. Endurance, too. I mean, we did like 2 days yesterday.
Oh, I was going to have done that.
Wild.
It's been like 2 days since like high school. Like, if like, you work out twice in a day, I was like, I don't have time for that.
I don't know if I've ever spent that much time working out
in the gym.
Definitely not in a gym. No, yeah, for sure.
Not for 10 plus years, that's for sure.
Quantify. Oh, wow, you're really, like, he's ready.
Wow. Go. That was cool just had the AT.
He just like switches
I'll
out.
Come in,
We're here.
Quantify the time though that you're in the gym, because so what did you guys do yesterday or the other day? You guys did
I did push and then legs
in the afternoon. So
brutal
in that group setting, the lifts you probably did, like quantity of lifts, probably is was equivalent to what your normal day is. Because think about it, like, and I'm comparing it because I was in the powerlifting clinic in the morning.
It was more. You're doing that tomorrow. You're in
because the way
you guys were done, and we were still had like four things left over.
Oh, really? Because yes. we went to 12:30 or whatever, and Adam took his time, but he also pushed some things.
Yeah.
So the way Adam did it was a little bit unique, and then the afternoon was just like figure it out, which worked. You know, it made it kind of fun. Sean and I hung out. It was kind of fun.
Yeah. So. Well, they went by fast, but it was just, you know, that's the other, having more people there definitely makes things go. Because you can, like, you know, just kind of talking and, like, you know, ragging on each other and just trying to, like, beat each other and all kind of stuff. It makes me go really fast.
Yeah.
So how do you think you keep that discipline moving forward? Because that's like what I'm afraid of is I go back, I'm like pumped, then I'm like starting to work out by myself, and then I've got my kid, and you know, like life happens, and then suddenly I'm back into old habits, right?
The gym should like keep you separate already, right? Or no?
I mean, I work out at home, typically. And so maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's like, maybe I need to go somewhere.
Just give it the time it needs.
Yeah, I have some stuff at home. We're doing some, like, I don't know, kind of construction in our basement. Like, we're doing our basement. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have a gym. I travel a lot anyway. So I just bought, like, a Planet Fitness, like, thing. Because I just always went around,
no matter what
city you're in.
Pretty much.
I've, even just being around other people, I found it was more motivating in a way. But it was also the...
I mean, it makes you focus,
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like you can get in and out of there.
I don't want to fucking waste my time here.
Yeah,
like, yeah, get home, get
back. Tell myself, like, what did I do again?
Oh, yeah, totally. But the thing I do, like, to where, you know, because, again, I have a couple of different, you know, companies that I work with, and then the, you know, kids and life and stuff. It's, I literally put it on my calendar.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, going to a meeting.
Ciao.
Yeah, I put it in there. That's kind of what, again, all could be kind of going for me.
Yo.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Someone had to say yo at some point. I don't think anyone has yet. So, yo.
I'm here.
There we go. Alec. We'll probably get kicked out for that.
I think I
now.
Know some of your names.
Levi.
You guys are on my calls.
Randy.
Levi.
John.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
John walks on his treadmill a lot.
I do.
Oh, there it is.
It's the first time I've seen John. First time I've ever seen John not.
Oh, shit. No, I found something.
I'm one of those at work.
That is the biggest hack ever to get like your 10,000
steps. I love it.
I bought one.
You're right.
Two meetings, you're done.
Yeah, you're done for the day.
Really?
Like, I bought one. I
that's true.
Recently
that's
moved so from
true.
Florida to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Bought one this winter.
Awesome.
Never get off.
I'm just gonna make sure that, like, they don't throw that shit out. Or whatever, it's like tucked away somewhere. I don't think anybody uses it.
I literally just keep
sneaking it home.
Yeah, they're cheap. They're like $400. Dude, they're not.
Oh, okay. Nobody wants that.
They're not expensive.
We can't do this.
And it's you. Like, I keep mine. I sit stand desk, and I just keep up.
Yep.
And then I have it. I literally stand on it most of the time.
Yep.
And you do, like, I had to experiment a lot. Like, I can do 1.5 miles an hour and pretty much do whatever meeting that I want to do, right? You know, like, I'm going to talk.
Yeah.
Typically, I do it internal meetings. I don't do customer meetings. Like,
yeah, that might be fishy.
Yeah. Let me grab this rag and get the sweat on my brow.
I'm going to be sweating my butt off while I'm, you know, talking to some customer or whatever, right? But that is definitely a hack, and just keeps you moving.
So it's
only keeping motivated.
Whose first event is it?
Oh, this is my first in person.
Mine.
Really?
Oh, well, I guess I was in Vegas, but I just had a meeting. I worked out with
Vegas is
Ben,
different.
But I was working
with Vegas. Vegas is different. Vegas has its own.
So Porter's not joining us today, unfortunately, for everyone listening. But Porter's the good dog who should be sitting with us.
True.
So what are you taking from the event so far?
You know, it's funny. I was actually talking to my wife this afternoon, and I just have two tween teen daughters, right? And I've never really been someone that really do like journaling and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the one thing that really stuck with me was the, you know, getting your whys down. And one of my whys has always been, now I say, give a shit.
Yeah,
it works in life. It works in, you know, your job. It works with family. It's like, if you just give a shit, but whatever it is you're doing, whether it be, you know, for your customer, your company, or your family, or whatever it is, your workout, whatever, right? And I was telling her that was my, like, this is my thing that, you know, that I kind of do stuff for. I was like, I want to instill that in my kids. I've never thought about that ever. They pop my brain. I'm gonna talk to them about it.
Yep.
I don't think it's funny because I don't ever cuss around my children. I'm like, hey, I'm about to say a cuss word to you. But I know they're gonna laugh, and also be like, did I say something? But I was like, no, but I want to instill in you this. This is how I've been successful in my life. Mm-hmm. I want you to continue this on.
That's great.
Hey, if you give a shit, my both my girls are competitive dancers. So it's like, it's just about giving a shit, mm-hmm. right? You give a shit in everything you do and you'll be successful, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
I never would have thought I would have walked away with
right.
that.
Probably.
But think about the changes that are made in a family tree in that way.
Yeah.
With teaching kids that. So context wise, and I mean, if we round table the whys, I'm a volunteer firefighter, and that's why years ago when I first started losing weight, I lost 70. I used to be about 75, 80 pounds more than I am right now, which does not look good on a 5'10 Levi. Yeah. Just saying, it does not look good. I was a new lieutenant on the fire department, and you could throw a hose under me and I could drag it around, but I could not do it as well as I should.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that's what got it going.
You see something right away. You're like,
you see it.
What am I doing?
Yeah. Make a long story short, we're here years later. My mom actually signed up for a coaching program.
She
worked with a trainer for a year. My mom's, she was someone who always, I can remember growing up, my mom was always on the next diet. It was Weight Watchers and then Atkins. And thank God she didn't do like the juice only thing when I was a teen. I remember that being talked about and I'm like, oh, please no.
Yeah. That would have been funny.
But I have an 11-year-old sister.
Nice.
She'll get in the weight room and train with mom.
That's cool.
That's the coolest thing ever to think about now.
Great habit for me.
Exactly. Like seeing the happiness mom has. And then also Joy jumps in there. She just bounces around.
So I guess 10-year younger kids are just there and they're not. That's a part of them.
Yeah. Yeah. They bounce in. She loves it.
And I think a lot of us probably started that. Like,
yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's something I think I know we've heard from Sean.
Yo,
and you get a little ticked off at it, I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, get out of here, you guys with your headphones and you're literally wearing pajamas while I'm trying to work out, you mofos. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm just ain't all about it probably.
But I think the impact of what we're doing and how it has affected people around us, other people in the group, our families, has been like interesting to watch. And I don't know if I really thought about that going into it.
No, I know.
I didn't.
It was hard to think that, like, once you focus on yourself, like, the good also reaches out.
Yeah.
Like, I posted in the Discord immediately, like, didn't even know how fast that was going to happen. I was like, this will take a year. And then it's like a month or later, like, my friend that I made through my roommate, we just like connected and we're like talking, and over time, like, she was just like, hey, like, she had nothing but good things to say. And that's really, it was just me trying to solidify what I learned on our Monday calls, what I read in like little pieces of paper on like the book Ben sends us, and then stuff I write about, and like just solidifying it with her. I was like, hey, like, I don't know if this will help you, but like, I think I looked at what this told me, like this and that, and then she's like reaping it and like seeing what the value was and like helping her life and putting her on track and showing her, like, delete the noise, like, what do you want to do? It was like the main thing is like, that was my problem. I was like, I gotta figure out what the hell I want to do with my identity, like, who am I, what is my habits going to be like in 10 years and 20 years, like, future me, like, I see him all the time in like a shadow, like, what the hell are you doing, like, if you stop moving, like, I'm not going to be happy. You know, I want to keep having fun, keep packing all the things, like, if I want to go hike, you know, like, I don't want these things to be stripped away, like, and then seeing our nice little yoga instructor from today, it's just like, all right, things are should be good, I guess, in the future. Like,
yeah.
This is
the identity stuff was really good today.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Has anybody done breath work before today?
I only done half of it the first time.
Not
I usually
level.
Have to drop off on Not the call, and it was just like, then I really picked up. And I felt it like taking over my body, like hardcore.
Yeah, no, I was a huge skeptic. Colorado was the first time. I had never done 555. I had never done anything before Colorado. And
what's Colorado?
What we mean? The in-person event in Colorado.
Oh, similar to this?
Last year, yeah.
I see. Okay.
So we were out in Colorado, and Sean came in virtually, and I was like, well, at least I might get in a little nap or something out of it, right? And as we had people share today, I don't typically share, and shared, and it actually led to life transformation decisions after that one day.
Lightens the burden.
And
there's a lot opening up.
I think it's one thing that if I can encourage anybody from this group is the other coaches, they're coaches too. Sean and I work together now, one-on-one.
Okay.
It's amazing how you can hack the whole body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just the lifting the iron. There's so much more to this. And the crew that Ben has put together, just astounding at what you can do to for yourself.
Yeah. It's weird. I thought about those things too. I was like, what do you mean talking is going to help me and this and that? And like, I'm like, no. This is like, I already know I'm bad at conversing. Like, I keep to myself usually or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then just opening up and like allowing yourself to just be yourself was like eye-opening enough. Like, it takes a lot. I don't know why. It's just like till I'm here today to do that kind of stuff.
He's fostered a safe place. I mean, this is it's a fam for a reason.
Yeah.
So
I would say so.
Dill, one of the newest people to join us.
I'm sold already. Don't worry about it.
No, you're good.
This has been good. Like, I've been brought into slow this down, I think. Otherwise we'll be on, it'll be like a 24-hour podcast, I think.
Yeah.
This has been unreal. Like, I mean, I've been behind the camera the whole time watching you guys.
Right.
You know, so I feel like I've been exercising through you all.
Sure. Well, we talked a couple days before the event, and we were both, I mean, the biggest event before this was Colorado. It was 28 people.
Okay.
And I'll choose my word wisely because I want to use some words that have to be bleeped out, but to think we were going to have over 50 people here, I couldn't fathom it.
Yeah.
And yet it still runs like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
What did you think when you heard you're going to be helping produce this with 50 people? And
this podcast had me sweating a little bit.
Yeah.
Right now, we don't know if it's worked. So if it's worked, great. But no one knows. I had no idea how he was going to coordinate it, but also what the people would do, what they would bring, what the characters would be, and also what people would take away from it has been my eye-opener. Like, when Ben had explained it to me, I was lifting camp. To me, it was just weights, gym. That's what I was thinking it was.
Yeah. But
that's such a small part of it. Like, so what I've taken away from this is that this is a holistic approach to mind, body, and soul, like all of it together.
Yeah.
And seeing how open everyone is, I know you guys keep joking, like, you know, it's not a cult. It's not, right?
It's cult adjacent.
Cult adjacent.
It's not a cult, but it's a family.
It's a family.
It's a community.
It's a community.
It's a community, or sometimes you'll hear tribe, but it's a community.
Yeah. It's so many different people who don't know each other. Like, we're sitting the other night, we're having dinner, and I sort of laughed, looking around, being like, I'm just sitting here in another country having dinner, having beers with a bunch of guys that I do not know. But like, it didn't feel like that at all.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that was what was sort of key. That's what was nice about it. Everyone was very open. Everyone was talking about the deep stuff. Stuff that I would never naturally just talk about with people I don't know. So it's been fascinating.
And you've known Ben probably the longest out of any of us. Yeah. So what do you think it is about Ben that allows people to feel that comfortable with him?
Yeah.
I think he's got a sort of a laid-back charisma about him. Now, he would describe himself as a control freak, but I don't think he is. I think he says that a lot, but he's actually pretty open to just letting people get involved and do stuff. Like, what blew my mind when he said to me, do you want to come over and help make this stuff, is that he wasn't interested in him in any of it. Was like, I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. Like, I didn't get it. And he said to me, you won't understand until you're here on the ground.
Yeah.
And then each day I was like, I think I get it. And he's like, you won't, not yet. And then the next day, I think I get it. And it's like 10% every single day of the week. But he's got a real calming, honest way about him. And he's genuinely just interested in everybody else finding their why. I think that's what it is.
And yeah, I think you're right. He sees himself as a control freak. He's a quality freak.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah.
All he wants to do is deliver 100% of the product.
Yeah.
And
but it happens. It happened. Like,
yeah. I just, when I signed up, I wanted someone to teach me how to eat a little bit better. And I wanted to lose 50 pounds.
Yeah.
That all went out the window after 6 months. So I'm like, wait, this isn't what I signed up for.
Yeah.
And my whole thought process was challenged on a lot of things.
Okay.
And
absolutely.
I feel better. It's not even healthier. I just feel better as a person.
Yeah.
Better in the community. Yeah. And it's all because of what he built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same for you as well.
I think
that's, but for everyone too, right? Yeah. I mean, I think that's what you just also like. Yeah, but he steps away from it. Let's.
Right. He lets it grow.
His attention to detail is
key.
His quality is high.
Yeah.
But he steps aside and lets the community be the community.
Yeah.
Right.
Even this, like trying to get him into the podcast, he was like, "I don't want to be in this."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's funny when we were in Ireland, and it was his home turf. I actually saw him nervous for a little bit.
Know him there.
But he wanted it to just be a recognition of his area.
Yeah.
But then he brought his family in.
Yeah.
And you saw Trish.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I see where he gets that.
Yeah.
And
quality.
Yeah.
Personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Family.
Yeah, that's where the endearment comes from as well, like for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, even that podcast, he wanted didn't see it until it was done.
Yeah.
He just wants people to be themselves.
Yeah.
And he allows them to do it.
Yeah. So what's been your biggest takeaway from the week? There you go. Breath. That sounds good.
Yeah. Some breath work. I think for me, a big takeaway has been to trust myself more.
Yeah.
And it's like, whether that's in what I can do or what I want to do.
Okay.
And to let myself like lean on other people and trust myself to do it more, and as well understand the impact that has on the people around me and how to like continue and grow that, whether it's within the community and within the WeHack health groups or at work or outside of it, and like reflect on the positive and negative sides of that.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's not just me and Ben. I mean, the three people here I've had good conversations with.
Yeah.
So, like, not serious every time. Yeah, like electrocuting radios with Clayton. But, I mean, I've had good conversations with Randy.
Yeah.
Dill.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of opening. It's not just Ben and I. It's the community.
Yeah.
There's people I know I can talk to. And get feedback on.
Oh, look at that.
Get
maybe
dark
that's
on.
A, maybe that's
yeah.
also
that right.
the end. The
yeah.
end.
That yeah.
sounds like
yeah.
the end of the podcast.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, leave a light. It's fun.
Cool.
Let's end it there. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, boys.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate you guys.